session number 27730, reel 3.
Mr. Bob Lunn, reel 3. We were talking about when you were mobilised. So you think it was High Wood Barracks?
I think it was Lordship
Lane, anyway, yeah. Dulwich.
It was Lordship Lane, Dulwich.
And that was on the 24th of August.
And it was an RASC barracks. And it was fully... a fully comprehensive barracks. It had a large parade ground, had a large barracks. We had sleeping accommodation. We had a medical centre with sleeping accommodation, which I used to go and sleep in because I thought I was privileged.
And what was your sleeping accommodation? What was the sleeping accommodation for the men like?
Beds, mattress, blankets, sheet. If you were lucky, you might add sheets, pillars, a cupboard for your bits and pieces, a little wardrobe we had on the side for our greatcoats and uniforms and things.
Now, how did you feel? The war hadn't started yet. It's back end of August, but nearly a week and a half to go before the war starts. What did you think?
Well, I, as a young man, I thought, let's get at them, kind of thing. The damn Germans, they had it easy. We're shown what's what. But we didn't.
So... what happened? Do you remember the day war broke out, the old joke goes, 3rd of September?
Yes.
What do you remember of that?
I was up in Dulwich, and I got on the phone to me mother, I think. My mother, I said, "Have you heard the news, Mother?" She said, "Yes." She said, "I didn't think we would see war. This would be the second one that we've watched." Or, I think it was her third. Her brother got killed in South Africa. Her father had lost a brother in the Great War in France.
But you were more up for it.
Yeah.
You weren't bothered.
Yeah. I wasn't bothered because... it was my country that was going to be in trouble. And as a person that was born in Britain, I wanted to do my bit. And I didn't realise until after the war, I needn't have gone to war. Because I was really in a reserve occupation. But there was something else happened afterwards. That goes on a bit further. We were doing the same things that we were doing in the 1938 crisis, getting all the depots lined up because we had supplies of petrol and diesel in lorries, in tankers. We had to deliver the food from the service station, from the service companies to the various depots that were being set up all round the country, or all round London. And then there was some... we used to have to go down to an ammunition place down in Chelmsley. It's not on those documents.
It mentions Tardevig Park, but I think that's later, yes.
We used to go down to a ammunition dump down in I used to go through Bromley. Now down towards Kent. I think it was Chelsfield. There was an ammunition dump there, and they had there all the ammunition in caves under the ground, and they had quite a number of dwarfs shifting these boxes of ammunition, and which rather surprised me. I mean, to see dwarfs moving these boxes of course, I mean, the caves was ideal for the dwarfs, but they used to load our lorries. They were very good, they were very clever, very strong, and they used to load our lorries, and we used to take it out to the various gun sites.
So you were basically taking food, fuel, ammunition to depots and
all
gun
round
sites.
all round London. There was three companies in the. There was the 900, the 901, the 902. They did form another company, the 903, in late 39. That was sent to France. I should have gone, but I had had an operation in Lewisham Hospital. That's not in there either. For appendix.
Well, we'll come to that, yeah. So how long were you doing this initial job for, of moving the supplies of food and fuel and ammunition?
About 6 months. Then let's say we got...
Based at Highwood. September
at Highwood, yes. Yes. And until I got my operation.
So till about March 1940.
Yes.
Now, anything happened in that period? Any stories?
Yes, we were bombed.
That early?
No, it would probably be about 19... I was transferred... what year was it I was transferred? I was being transferred. When was Dunkirk?
May, June 1940.
Oh, well, it was before then, because we got bombed early.
Now tell us about that.
They came over to bomb us, and we had at the back of the barracks there was a golf course, the Dunwich Golf Course, and there was a 4.5 gun on that golf course, and the team that was running it were really accurate. Now they never fired their shells at the bombers coming over as they were coming into London. They always fired the shells at the crowd that was going out, because if they used to be pretty accurate, and they used to get planes, and they didn't want to shoot the planes down whilst they were going into London with a load of shells on. And they must have been warned, that Jerry must have warned them about this perfect gunnery over Dunwich, because they went and they dropped a string of bombs, and one hit our barracks. It went down through the barracks, through the old rifle range that we turned into an office, and then this bomb went straight down through, and it went straight through a room where there was one soldier sleeping. I remember him quite well, and the bomb went between two beds, and it didn't explode. It exploded, but the barracks was built on clay, and the blast went up. It didn't go outwards like shells normally do. It went straight up, and it took the roof off the rifle range. I have got a picture somewhere of it, and the roof went straight off and dropped. And a lot of the soldiers had cars, and the roof dropped straight on top of these cars, and they weren't very, the soldiers weren't very pleased about that. But that was the a real incident in my mind. I know I haven't got it in there because they didn't, where that was going, but they didn't want to know. But then we had another incident where the issuers for the petrol and the diesel and what have you, they what they were doing, they were fiddling. So they went and picked out another six drivers, of which I was one. I must have been either I don't know what, but I think I was must have either had an honest face, or my record was pretty good. Anyway, they put me on diesel, which was a joy. I had a tanker of 1,000 gallons of tank put on my wagon and bolted down, and I was carrying diesel for the various searchlights in and around London. There was six drivers, five were petrol and one was diesel. I was the diesel one. And the issuers were drawn from the Royal Artillery. Why, I don't know. But, and they were the issuers to each lorry. And they issued the gallons to the various depots. Some depots only had, say, 250 gallon tanks, and they would use the petrol for their cars that they were using from the depots. A depot consisted of about, if it was a searchlight, it would only be like one searchlight and a generator and probably a dozen men, which were either there would be the Royal Artillery or the REs. The REs were on searchlight, the RAs were on guns. And we also had lorries that went out during the day to deliver food, meat, veggies.
Now, hang on. How are you going to detect these thefts by the fuel depots?
Well, what happened was that they were caught at the Ace of Spades in London on Kingston Bypass. There'd been some rumours floating around, and there was a lot of army lorries kept on pulling into the Ace of Spades, and they were dropping off petrol to the chappie that run the cafe. The civilians couldn't get petrol. Well, they could get petrol, but you see, if you had civilian petrol, it was clear. If you had military petrol, it was red. And what the issuers were doing, they used to pull into Croydon and fill up with petrol, and they were always in a rush, and the person that was issuing the dye would give it to the issuer, and the issuer wouldn't put it in the tank. And that's how they caught them. Well, what they caught was that they put some detectives up on top of the factory opposite the Ace of Spades, the cafe, and they saw that there was army wagons pulling in, and nearly always the same lorry drivers pulling in at the same time as what the army lorries were pulling in. and they arrested them. They didn't arrest one, they arrested five of them. And so, of course, the diesel driver didn't get caught because nobody wanted diesel. They wanted petrol. So that's why another six drivers had to be chosen, of which I was one. And
now, did you change unit at this time, or were you're still with the 900 company?
I was still with the 900.
Because it says something here about transfer to 29th Army Brigade, Royal Army.
Yeah, well, when I was, I couldn't go to go to the 903 company, which they were forming, to go to France. And that's how we got to know that the Germans had broken through.
Now, why were you going to be transferred to 903? Why didn't you, you know?
Well, I couldn't go to the 903 because I'd just come out of hospital.
But why would they want to? Why didn't you just stay with 900?
Well, I couldn't do that. Well, I did do. I did stay with the 900. But they had to take so many men from the 900, the 901 and the 902 to form the 903. That's it, isn't it?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Now tell me about your appendicitis. How bad was it?
It was a subacute. And they kept on getting this pain in my gut. And I reported sick. And they said there was nothing wrong with indigestion or God knows what. Now, so I went home one night on the tram because it was a 6 minute ticket there and back from Dulwich to Putney. The trams were still running. And I told my father about it. And I said, this pain is agonising. So he said, well, do you think you can come home tomorrow? I'll make an appointment to see our own doctor. So he said, so I managed to get a time off and jumped on the tram. Off I went home and he got the car out and run me over to Fulham to see Dr. Morton. That was our family doctor. He brought me into the world. And he said, right, get your clothes off. Get on the bench. Right, he said, does that hurt? I said, yes, it does. Does that hurt? Yes, it does. Does this hurt? No. He slammed me again, he said, punching me around here. And he said, well, I think you've got a suspected
appendicitis.
So he said, I can't advise you to say to your army doctors that you've been to see me because they'll take you outside and shoot you. You're not allowed that. Now he said, you'll go there and you'll report sick tomorrow morning. Where are you going? Where are you being examined? I said, at a place up in just outside Lewisham. So he said, well, insist that you go to Lewisham Hospital to be photographed, x-rayed. So I said, all right, fair enough. So I reported sick again. And our MO said, well, you're wasting your time, you know. I don't know what you're thinking playing at. So anyway, I'll send you to the, I think it was something Pools. It was called something Pools up in just outside Lewisham. And they examined me and they said, well, we can't. I said, well, it hurts. I haven't eaten because if I eat, it hurts. If I don't eat, it don't hurt. So he said, well, all right then. I said, do you think you could send me to have an x-ray? He said, who have you been talking to? I said, I haven't been talking to anybody. I thought, I know these x-rays do check out. all right. And he said, well, I'll tell you this, if they don't find anything wrong with you, I'm going to put you on a charge for wasting the army's time. Anyway, they sent me to Lewisham with my small kit and went at an x-ray. They said, yeah, you've got a suspected appendix. You're going to be in here for a couple of weeks. So I said, will you get notice back to my company? Which they did do. And I was in there for... They didn't operate straight away. I was there Friday night, Saturday night. I had some food on the Saturday night. Sunday, I was in terrible pain. They said, well, that's the food you had. So on the Monday, I didn't have any food on the Sunday. They didn't give me anything at all. I thought, that's jolly good. The pain went. On the Monday morning, the barber came round. And I said, where do you want? I don't shave. Not yet. I'm clean shaven. They said, I don't want that end. I want the other end. He said, well, I'm going to shave all the hairs off. I said, what for? He said, well, you're going down for operation. I said, God almighty. Nobody tells you anything in this joint. So that's it. So we went to... had appendicitis, had my appendix taken out. I was in there instead of a day going into for the army, I was in there for 3 weeks. And when I came out, they said, well, we've given you 3 weeks holiday. So I was home for Christmas. Now that's about the time I had my appendicitis. When I came back, there were my name was down for a list to go and join the 903 to go to France. So I went and saw the sergeant major. I said, I've just come out of hospital. You'll have to take my name off that. Oh yes, that's right. You've been to hospital. Don't you wonder where you've been to? He said, right, we'll take you off and put somebody else on. I said, bit tough on that bloke, but I was taken off 1940, I think it was. Think about that time. They said, well, you won't miss this one, you're going to be transferred to the a company that's being formed, the 29th Armoured Brigade RSC, that's in Northampton. So up, there was about 10 of us went.
Now, did that have a company name, or was it just Royal Army Service Corps 29th Armoured Brigade?
Yeah, it was the reverse way round, 29th Armoured Brigade, RVSA. It probably did have a number, but I cannot tell you what, I just can't remember it.
And they were at Northampton?
They were at Northampton, they come and picked us up at with a wagon at Northampton Station, and they took us up to the Northampton Common.
And that's 1940, you don't know when really, or...
My father was still alive then, but he died just after. He died in 1940. 142, it was very ill.
Because I thought this was 1940.
Yeah, 1940.
We'll just leave it at 1940. So, yeah. What was happening there at Northampton? Well, were you in a tented camp on the common or what?
Yeah, they were. It was. They lined us. I remember they lined us up, the ones that went from higher, from Dulwich. And got down to me, and the sergeant major said, what do you do? I said, I drive. He said, yes, I know you drive, you're a driver. I see you've had stripes. according to your arms. I said, yeah, that's right. I've had them three times. Up one time and down next.
Now, why did you keep losing them?
Awkward question that is. It was just one of those things. I lost them when the war broke out because the regulars took over. We had a territorial sergeant major and a regular sergeant major came in, but he didn't lose his crown. Regular corporals came in, regular sergeants came in. Lance corporals, out.
So you hadn't actually done anything wrong?
No. And then when I just got my tapes again, and I got banged over to Northampton for the armed brigade. So you can't go in, if you're a lance corporal, you can't go in as... If you're a corporal, you're all right. Because we had some corporals go with us, and they kept theirs. Anyway, the sergeant major came along, he said, well, what do you do then? He said, I see you've had some stripes. So I said, yes, sir. He said, what do you do? He said, I said, a drive. He said, yes, I know. I said, I know what you're going to say, sir. You're going to give me a broom, and you want me to drive it round the... playground. Oh, he said, we've got a comedian here, have we? I said, no, not really. So he said, well, I want a good driver. I said, imagine you've been a good driver with these stripes up, according to your records, for the major. I thought, God, well, that's a lovely job. Major's driver.
That's the company commander, I presume.
Yeah, he's company commander. You see, the company was just that they were all starting off nice and early. And I had a Humber Snipe. God, it was a beautiful car.
What was so good about it then?
Well, I mean, my father had a Buick. And that was a lovely car. But I think the Humber Snipe was the cat's whiskers.
What was so good about it?
Well, it had comfortable seating, it had beautiful driving, beautiful driving position. You had a starter, you didn't have to get out and go like this and wind it up. And the only one thing that was wrong, well, not with the car, but with the major, he was always smoking my cigarettes. He knew I kept my cigarettes in the glove box. And he used to say, I'll have a pack of that out of that glove box. And he was always smoking. Major Nicholson. I don't know what happened to him, but he was a smashing bloke. I hope he got out of the art of the war all right. They finished up as... They eventually went over to with the Second Army.